As we begin this lecture, I want to start with perhaps the most important question we could pose to one another, and that is, what does it take for someone to change? When people are struggling with a difficulty, when they're struggling with maybe anger, I've known so many furious men in my life, and they seem stuck. I've had men crying in my living room on their knees, begging for help with a problem that they don't know how to stop. They don't like feeling like they're terrorizing their loved ones and they want help. For somebody like that or other problems that we could mention, what does it take to help someone change? What do people need? Biblical counselors say that the Bible is sufficient to help people with these problems. That's what we talked about in the last talk. But as we also mentioned in the last talk, that is really controversial. Others are concerned about this because they believe, as we surveyed last time, that there are limited resources within Scripture to deal with these kinds of problems and extensive resources outside of Scripture to deal with these problems. And that's what gets to the heart of it. They don't want, Christian counselors don't, biblical counselors to overlook the rich resources that are available in secular psychology. One of the most compelling critiques of the biblical counseling movement in this way comes from a man named Stan Jones. He has been one of the leading integrationists over the last 20 or 30 years. And in a statement from a book he wrote called Psychology, A Student's Guide, he wrote this: psychological approaches can help people who are depressed, anxious, experiencing relational conflict, and the like. And in the absence of a strong justification for withholding the kind of help that tangible, empirically validated approaches offer to such persons, Christian compassion should incline us toward helping them. Now, that is a critique of the biblical counseling movement that really cuts to the quick. He's saying that there are tangible, empirically valid approaches to helping troubled people that we get from secular psychology. And he says, without a compelling justification to avoid using them, then Christian compassion should incline us towards helping them. He's saying that if you really, really care about broken and troubled people, then you ought to be very, very slow to reject the findings of secular psychology. In fact, you ought to use these tangible and empirically validated approaches. I think of a man that I know who was sobbing in my basement one night because he had committed adultery against his wife. I think of his wife who was sobbing in our living room as we had to explain what happened to her. I think of families I know who've lost children in the hospital, families I know whose children have been born, stillborn. I think of a couple that sat in my office one afternoon and explained, as they both cried, that his wife had been raped and they didn't know what to do about it. These are real people with real struggles, and they are experiencing real pain. And Stan Jones's critique asks us to think about what's really helpful for those folks. And his suggestion is that it is secular psychology. And that becomes a debate in the biblical counseling world because Christians think we don't need those things. But the objection, when you say, well, what those kind of broken and hurting and troubled people need is the truth of Scripture, the objection becomes then, well, do you think that there's nothing?